Mehiki nič več poceni bencina. Dobrodošli v prvo letošnjo južno hemisfero. V tokratni ediciji bomo naslednje pol ure pozornost posvetili aktualnemu dogajanju v Mehiki. S 1. januarjem je namreč zaradi ukinitve subvencij in deregulacije cene bencina v Mehiki narasla za približno 20%, kar je sprožilo množične proteste po vsej državi. Na demonstracijah, ki so jih v nekaterih primerih spremljala ropanje trgovin, je policija aretirala 1500 ljudi. Mobilizacija ljudstva pa v nekaterih krajih po državi še vedno traja. Več pojasni Laura Carlson z Washingtonskega centra za mednarodno politiko.
The protests are because there has been a gas hike officially between 14% and 20% in the price of gas, which is a pretty major blow to many Mexicans. And the official explanation has been that yes, it's time to deregulate the prices according to the international market, and that the international market prices have gone up. However, it seems to be that would not justify the major hike in gas prices. And then the other point that has people very upset is that there was a promise at the time that the sector was privatized that there would be no more increases in the price of gas, that the opening up to the private market would resolve the problem of increasing gas prices in the country. So this is direct violation of that promise.
Dvig cen naftnih derivatov je bil za množične proteste zgolj povod. Povišenja cen goriva je sicer vplivalo na ostale dejavnosti, kot naprimer kmetijstvo, vendar pa je dostopnost dobri najrevnejšim slojem med drugim otežena zaradi stopnje inflacije.
I think you'd have to like add them all up, but in general they are spontaneous, and you can tell because there's a large number of organizations and just individual citizens who are involved in them. And from place to place, they're not coordinated on a national basis. What they're doing is, it's not just the gas hike, but first of all, there's the gas hike, of course, transportation costs affect other costs. So now we're beginning to see, public transportation costs go up. We're beginning to see it affect basic foods like the tortilla, which is always a real sensitive point for Mexicans because it's such a big part of the diet, particularly of lower income families. And general inflation on a lot of really important items. So that affects the pocketbook. And when you affect the pocketbook, people tend to protest fairly spontaneously. It's been amazing what we've seen because essentially now halfway into January, the country is in a state of permanent mobilization. And in places that normally don't see large demonstrations, like Mexicali on the border with the United States, there were reportedly more than 40,000 people in the street.
Zviševanje cen goriva sicer ni novost, ta se je namreč postopno zviševala že v preteklosti. Več pojasni Andrew Smolski z Univerze v Severni Karolini.
To begin to answer that question is to recognize that this isn't the first, it's called gasolinazo, right? Increase in the gasoline price in Mexico. These have happened several times. And they've been part of kind of a larger trend looking at trying to privatize Pemex. So in a certain sense, yes, they're spontaneous because they're a reaction to this specific gasolinazo. But there have been organizations working on this issue consistently, ranging from political parties like the PRD, which is the Party of the Democratic Revolution, which is kind of a center-left institutional party, Morena, which is the Movement for National Regeneration, which is kind of another center-left party ran by AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, and then, you know, civil society. So it's kind of a mix of both. You know, it's spontaneous to this specific event, but with organizations that have been on the ground fighting this for now for almost 20, 30 years.
Novoletno zviševanje cen goriv je mogoče razumeti kot posredni rezultat uveljavljanja energetske reforme, ki jo je z ustavnimi spremembami začela aktualna vlada leta 2013. Glavna točka aktualnega procesa liberalizacije mehiškega energetskega sektorja je bila odprava izključne pravice državnega podjetja Pemex do raziskovanja in črpanja nafte v državi. Velja omeniti, da davčni prispevki tega podjetja predstavljajo približno tretjino vseh državnih prihodkov iz davščin, kar pa posledično močno hromi tekoče delovanje podjetja. Energetska reforma je s prodajo koncesij za raziskovanje in črpanje za podjetje predvidevala kratkoročni zaslužek, vendar pa načrtovani zneski niso bili doseženi zaradi neugodnih razmer na energetskem trgu.
Yes, the government insists that the gas hike is not related to the reform, but of course it has a lot to do. What happened essentially with the reform process is that for years there's been pressure from international investors to privatize Mexico's major state-run oil industry, which is called Pemex here. And in the reforms, what they finally were able to push through is the opening up the state-owned enterprise still exists, Pemex, but they've opened up the last frontiers, which are exploration and exploitation of Mexico's natural resources and gas and oil to private investors through a contracting process. This was supposed to be the way to modernize Pemex and to fund it, but of course it also happened at the worst possible time, at a time when gas prices were going down, and also at a time when the United States, through fracking, had discovered or had been able to tap into a huge new source of oil and gas, although at a huge environmental and social cost, so that the interest in foreign deposits had decreased considerably. And they had a lot of trouble getting good bids on many of those contracts.
S tem zaključujemo prvi del današnje južne hemisfere, v drugem delu pa bomo aktualno energetsko reformo umestili v privatizacijske procese mehiškega gospodarstva, ki so se začeli v 80-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja. Sledi glasbeni predah.
Honraré a los caídos luchando, Tlatelolco no fue su final. Un glorioso vivir tendrán cuando construyamos una nueva sociedad. Abolir para siempre queremos un sistema en que la explotación, que del hombre por el hombre se hace, no respeta ya la humana condición. Honraré a los caídos luchando, no conozco sus nombres y sé que por nombre podría darle a muchos el glorioso y bello nombre del Che. Yo también me incorporo a las filas del que lucha contra la opresión, del que lucha contra la injusticia de un sistema de ignominia y corrupción. Honraré a los caídos luchando, Tlatelolco no fue su final, porque habrán de vivir en el triunfo del que lucha por la nueva sociedad. Adelante, adelante, marchemos, cada vez con cautela mayor, en la escuela, en el monte y el pueblo, movimiento estudiantil contigo estoy. Movimiento estudiantil contigo estoy.
Še vedno poslušate oddajo Južna hemisfera, v kateri posvečamo termin aktualnemu dogajanju v Mehiki, natančneje zadnjim protestom zaradi 20-odstotnega dviga cen bencina in liberalizacije mehiškega energetskega sektorja. Krovno mehiško državno podjetje, zadolženo za upravljanje z naftnimi črpališči Pemex oziroma v polnem imenu Petroleos Mexicanos, je bilo ustanovljeno leta 1938, ko je takratni oblasti uspelo nacionalizirati večinoma ameriška in britanska podjetja. S takšnim ukrepom je Mehiki uspelo spraviti celotno črpanje nafte v državi pod eno streho. Pemex je deloval uspešno do te mere, da je v 70-ih predstavljal levji delež državnih prihodkov, posledično pa mehiški državni aparat ni razvil učinkovitega sistema splošnega plačevanja davkov. Njegov razvoj pojasni James Cypher z Avtonomne univerze za Zacatecas.
So, that company became in the 70s an absolute pillar for government revenue. There was a big boom. There were several huge oil discoveries in the mid and later 70s, and Mexico was able to fairly rapidly exploit the oil fields, the new discoveries, and so oil production shot up until the crash of oil prices in 81 and 82. So from the 70s until the oil downturn in the early 80s, Mexico was really booming. And this free money was picked up by the government, and kind of, although it was never quite as good after that as during the oil boom, government policy switched to relying on the sales of oil abroad for a major portion of the federal tax revenues. But the key to all this is that Mexico's never taxed its wealthy. Legally, it has the power to tax the wealthy. Legally, the taxes are fairly high, but the enforcement is extremely lax. You know, if you're a lawyer or a medical doctor or you have a private company, you can find ways to move your accounts around to show relatively modest income. And then there are exemptions. For example, interest on bonds is not taxed. Dividends on stock shares are not taxed. So the people who hold the bonds, the people who get the dividends, are not facing taxes. So Mexico's got a chronic fiscal crisis. And they feel that they have filled that fiscal crisis with oil revenues instead of actually having the integrity in their tax system to pursue the millions of people who are not paying the legal amount demanded of taxes. So this has been a convenient way until a couple of years ago to hold the government revenues together.
Previsoki prispevki, ki jih je plačeval Pemex, so to podjetje izčrpali do te mere, da ne vlaga več v infrastrukturo in ne odpira novih črpališč.
Things have been going poorly for Mexico, the economy, all around. You know, one of the ways to cover these deficits would be to borrow, and there was a lot of borrowing going on, but that's been over for months. And so the oil sales, the foreign oil sales, have also been declining because there have been programs to sell off oil leases to private producers, but that has not created a big boom in production. So to make a very complicated story a little shorter, Pemex was having real problems because it was taxed so heavily over the last five or more years, replacing the oil wells that were depleted. So there is oil. There's oil in the ground. But as the old wells finally mature to the point where the yield is maybe not worth the expenses of keeping the well pumping, Pemex had to drill. But its drilling budget was reduced almost to nothing. It's amazing. If you have the statistics in front of you, how many wells Pemex was drilling, let's say in 2010, and how many they drilled in 2015. They practically drilled nothing.
Proces privatizacije je v Mehiki nastopil v 80-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja, ko je bila država zaradi previsokega zunanjega dolga, poka, naftnega balona in visoke inflacije prisiljena zaprositi za posojila mednarodnega denarnega sklada. Pogoj za pridobitev posojil je bilo klasično zniževanje javne porabe, vse splošna razprodaja pa je sledila pod oblastjo predsednika Carlosa Salinasa de Gortarija, ko je bilo med letoma 1988 in 1994 razprodanih 85% državnih podjetij. Rezultat tega obdobja je bila tudi privatizacija glavnega telekomunikacijskega podjetja Telmex in vznik sedmega najbogatejšega človeka na svetu, Carlosa Slima. Rezultate privatizacijskih politik pojasni Smolski.
Yeah, so Mexico in the 1980s was a massive amount of debt. About three-fourths of that debt was with finance, U.S.-based finance, or private finance. And when the oil bubble burst in 1982, and this is the first real kind of look, that's why I say, you know, you have to think about it in a 30 to 40-year range. When that first oil bubble burst is when you started to already realize that Pemex had massive, massive problems in terms of its long-term planning and then internal corruption. So they have that foreign debt issue, and then the oil bubble bursts, and the economy is just largely not able to run properly. And the federal budget's kind of tanking. And so at this time, they didn't actually have to go full-blown austerity. That doesn't technically happen until you get Carlos Salinas de Gortari into office. And he wins the election in 1988. Largely seen as illegitimate because when they were counting votes, the machines magically went down. And when they went down, Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas was in the lead, very slight lead, but he was in the lead. When they come back on, no lead, Carlos Salinas de Gortari wins. And so as he takes power, coming into 1992, 1993, he privatized almost upwards of 85% of the state economy. And that's telecoms. Banking had been renationalized and then gets reprivatized. And this was just like a very quick kind of what Naomi Klein, I guess, would call a shock doctrine kind of thing. And they come in, they do this. Mexico had one billionaire beforehand. After Gotari's reign, they had 25. And this was largely due to that massive privatization drive, which didn't resolve the foreign debt problem, which was the major problem, did not resolve the dependency on other countries for the maintaining of Mexico's economy. It did not resolve Pemex's problems. And actually, you end up entering into a new crisis in 1994, with they call the tequila crisis, which is the massive peso devaluation then. After that, there was like a couple of years where you see decreases in poverty. It seems to be getting better, blah, blah, blah. But you really can't make a better economy when you're excluding the majority of your people from that economy. So the informal economy explodes as the state contracts. And what we see now is you have, basically half the population isn't even participating in the formal economy. And the state largely has no capacity now to supply many of the things that they were supplying prior to this privatization drive that was based on lots of state and market failures.
Energetska reforma v določeni meri nadaljuje politiko postopnega odpiranja gospodarskih sektorjev zunanim investitorjem. Vlada sicer zagotavlja, da Pemex ostaja v državni lasti, prav tako pa ima zagotovljen delež odkritih nahajališč, do katerih ima ekskluziven dostop. Kljub temu pa je jasno, da Pemex izgublja svojo nekdanjo vlogo v Mehiki.
They're forcing people into retirement. They're getting rid of their contract workers because those are the ones that don't have the protection of a union contract. So Pemex is shrinking daily and has for about a year and a half. It's going to remain as a paper company and having no real power to set the agenda, having no real power to be the major oil exporter of Mexico or the major oil producer of Mexico. The private companies are taking over. It takes some years to go out, especially in offshore oil, and develop an oil field. So we haven't seen what Mexico hopes will happen, which is that oil production will come back up. It's been falling for years, and there are some very important oil fields offshore, but Pemex is hardly participating in that. So I guess in a rhetorical sense, you could say Pemex continues to exist on paper, and therefore, if you really had a unanalytical mind and an unanalytical process, you could argue that privatization has not occurred. But in point of fact, it is privatization. There's just absolutely no doubt that the oil sector is being turned over to private companies. And, I think in a matter of years, the share of oil that Pemex is actually pumping out of the ground and moving around is going to be 10-20% of all production.
Zadnji dvig cen goriva, ki je bil vsaj delno posledica energetske reforme, je večinoma vplival na lastnike avtomobilov in industrijo. Nadaljne dvigovanje cen pa bi sprožilo pospešeno rast inflacije. Za današnjo južno hemisfero zaključuje Cypher.
The situation with civil society right now is pretty delicate. The oil price increase, this won't be the last one for the year, this coming year. The gas price increase, all of that, is going to be transferred into general inflation. So people who don't have vehicles will be paying more if they're riding the buses. The buses are heavily subsidized. And on a daily basis, probably close to two-thirds of the people of Mexico, they can't afford to keep a private vehicle, so they ride the buses or they ride the metros if they're in the big cities. And all that's been heavily subsidized, but cannot be. So the price increase is going to pass through to people who do not have vehicles. It's going to pass through in natural gas, which people use for cooking. It's going to pass through and be generalized. And so there's going to be considerable inflation this year. Last year it was around 4%. And at the moment, people are talking about double that or more. The entire country in a unpredictable, volatile state.
Južno hemisfero je pripravil Jošt.
Ne ujel?
Ja.